Well, we hardly need reminding that there are only 2 weeks until Christmas. It's been a long time of preparation already. These shops have been celebrating Christmas since Halloween. We have started celebrating the run-up to Christmas last week, and we're now in the season of Advent. But of course, although it's been going on for some time, there's still an awful lot more to do. I think we're all fairly conscious of that at this stage in the run-up to Christmas. In just 15 days' time, we will be here in church celebrating the coming of our Lord as a baby in a manger. And are we ready to meet with the Son of God made flesh for our salvation? Well, our two readings that we've had this morning may help us to prepare. The first of these is from Isaiah, and it would be familiar to any of you who know Handel's Messiah. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. It's telling us that God has forgiven the sins of his people. The price has been paid. The price has been paid. And this, I do feel, anticipates the message of the New Testament, although this is an Old Testament reading. The idea that the price for our sins has been paid struck me very much as that was being read. That is the message of the New Testament. And the message certainly is from Isaiah that God will be coming to be with us. He will share our life. And that, again, is very much the message of Christmas. So, as I say, although we are in the time of the Old Testament and the time of the exile, we are actually already anticipating the central message, the good news of the New Testament. Well, the second reading we had was the opening chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, and of course that quotes the passage which we had from Isaiah. Because what the evangelist is saying is that the prophecy of Isaiah, and incidentally a little bit of Micah as well, has been fulfilled in the person of John the Baptist, who is the voice that calls in the wilderness. And this is a voice of comfort. John is bringing good news, but he's also bringing a challenge. It's almost like the solemn words that we have from the prophet Amos, which are sometimes shouted at us in the street, prepare to meet your God, prepare to meet your God, the end is nigh. You must repent and confess your sins if you hope to be forgiven. Now we might think just for a moment about what John was offering to his people. He was bringing an opportunity for repentance and for the forgiveness of sins. He gives them the opportunity. They can step into the waters of the River Jordan. They get washed. They come out clean and ready to meet the coming Saviour. Because that is John's message. There is someone more powerful than him, who will be the Saviour of his people. And so the people have this opportunity, as they await the coming of their Saviour, to lead a life which will be more faithful and more obedient to God. And I guess as we approach Christmas, as we go through the period of Advent, which is a period of repentance, that may be in our minds as well. But that's not all we need. That's not all we can expect in our relationship with God. And note the last two verses of the reading, because then John said, after me comes one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. That's to say, not worthy to be his slave, the one who washes his feet. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So as Christians, we anticipate something more than just this opportunity of cleansing ourselves from our sins. We also get the opportunity to become the vehicle of the Holy Spirit that came down on Jesus' baptism comes down on us too, as we invite the Spirit into our lives, and that too may be in our minds as we come to celebrate Christmas this year, that we are celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So, in practical terms, what will we be doing in the next 2 weeks? What are some of us doing already, I expect? And we'll be sending and receiving Christmas cards. I think there are some at the back already. We'll be wishing one another a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, or sometimes maybe just season's greetings. I'm not so sure about that. Season's greetings, or even Good Yule, I've heard. But let's hope Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. There'll be pictures of robins, reindeer, Santa Claus and happy children gathered around the Christmas tree. And there will also, I guess, be some pictures illustrating our faith. I think it's especially good to send pictures or maybe messages which actually celebrate Christmas as a Christian festival. And it's especially good to send pictures of the baby Jesus to our atheist friends, I think. It's certainly really good for them. But the sending and receiving of cards is a way of keeping touch with a wider circle of friends. And I think that's a really nice thing about Christmas, is to renew friendships, which perhaps we've lost touch with people, or people we don't know terribly well, but by this exchange of cards, especially, I hope, religious cards, are actually saying something to maintain our friendship. Sharing, as it were, a moment of mutual goodwill. So, part of the preparation is the cards, it's also the presents. Yes, we have to go shopping. And now, what is the ideal Christmas present? Well, first of all, it has to express a good understanding of the recipient's wants and needs, sympathy with their ambitions, with their values. It also, I think, can express to some extent our own values. We wouldn't want to give a present which we thought would not be worth receiving. And then you have the problem of how much to spend. You want the present to be expensive enough to be generous, but not so expensive as to be ostentatious or intimidating. Anyway, the selection of presents means that this is perhaps a time of anxiety as well as enjoyment, and we may end up saying it's simpler to send tokens or money instead. Anyway, that's the cards, the presents. Then there are also the parties and the meals we have this time of year with families and friends. It's an opportunity to renew our love with those closest to us and also to deepen our friendships, a time to think, to speak, and to act a bit more kindly. We need, I think, at Christmas to be charitable in our judgments, sincere in our sympathy, and generous in our affections. And it's good to see how most people in this country at Christmas are actually striving to live according to what are Christian values, like generosity, sympathy, and affection. And I don't think that we should look down on the secular celebration of Christmas when it takes that form. We live in a society very much conditioned by Christian values, and these get celebrated even by people who would say they had no religious faith at all in the way in which they look at Christmas. Of course, it's not like that for everyone. For some people, Christmas is just another day, even a day of particular sadness. And so the secular meaning of Christmas may pass some of us by almost completely. But there's no need, there's no reason why the religious significance of Christmas should pass us by, whatever the circumstance we may be in. Indeed, the celebration of Christ's incarnation can bring a message of hope and joy, which is for everyone. So, beyond the cards, the presents, and the parties, we can all be preparing in our hearts to receive the gift of God Himself. We do that throughout the season of Advent. We've got the Christingle later today. Some of us will be opening windows of a real Advent calendar, and we can read one of the many Advent books that have been prepared for us. And above all, we can sing hymns and carols. There'll be singing and carols in the church today. We had a carol service at Mugswell yesterday, and there will be singing too throughout the parish. And now there we join in spirit with the herald angels to give glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. And we see the Godhead veiled in flesh and hail the incarnate deity. As every so often, Charles Wesley gets the message absolutely right. And there have been many opportunities to exercise our lungs and our voices, but we need to take note of the meaning of what we're singing. And we prepare for Christmas also in our prayers. And now is the time to cast away the habits of mind that separate us from God. We'll not be able to welcome Christmas properly if our hearts are full of envy, malice, contempt, or self-pity. We need to put on the armour of light, of gratitude, patience, love, joy, and peace. Indeed, Advent is a good time to re-examine the condition of our souls and our relationship with God. If we see God as hostile, remote, or indifferent, now is a good time to get rid of these misperceptions. We know and celebrate at Christmas the coming of a God who is loving, generous, forgiving, and kind. And if we do that, then Advent can be for us a period of spiritual renewal, leading up to Christmas in the same way as Lent leads up to Easter. So there are just two more weeks to go, and so much to do. But let's not allow the busyness to get in the way of the preparation we need the most. And in moments of tranquility, let us turn to Christ our Saviour with humility, gratitude, and love. Jesus has promised that he is coming soon. With the Spirit we say, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.